Spencer, thank you for leading us in a wonderful time of worship. And I want to spend amen. That's right, amen. And you know, it is wonderful. Spencer reminds us of this, but he grew up here in this church, and there's a lot of his generation that many of you taught and brought up in the nurture and admonition of Christ Jesus, and they're all over the country. Doing God's work and doing God. We see it on Facebook. We catch up with them from time to time. It is so good to know that, to see the fruit of labor and investment in time spent. So Spencer, thank you. Thank you for who you have become and what you're doing in God's kingdom. It's a blessing. Amen. Do you all ever think about what you're thinking about? You do. That's good. That's good. Because that's what I want us to think about this morning, is to think about whatever we've been thinking about. We as humans have this amazing gift, this amazing ability. We're unlike any other creature on the face of the earth. All other creatures are reactive. Now, we are reactive. We can be reactive like other creatures. For instance, if you're walking along and you see what looks like a snake, you think fast, not slow, right? Amen? You think fast and you react to that and you jump away and then you evaluate, oh, that was just a stick, you know? But then you can think about what your thoughts are. Boy, that was a really good idea. That was a safe thing to do, because what if it had really been a snake? See, then you're thinking about what you're thinking about. As Christians, that's one of the skills that you and I need to learn as we move toward greater maturity in Jesus Christ. We can think about our thinking. We can not only react, but we can reflect on our reactions. We can reflect on our thoughts. Let me illustrate this with a little story. A couple of weeks ago, Mindy and I and the kids and Sarah Kayla, we were in two vehicles, and we're going to, Mindy's going to her mom and dad's out in the hill country, and then Sarah and I, once we get to San Antonio, are going to get together. She and Mindy had to talk all the way there. So I drove Sarah's car. She's riding with Mindy. So we're going to go to San Antonio, and then we'll swap, and then she and I will go into camp, and Mindy and the kids will head on to the in-laws. Well, the idea was, and this was Mindy's idea, and that is a very important piece of information for all of you to know. Her idea was that we would eat at Chick-fil-A right where 1604 and Interstate 10 connect. Did I tell you this is Saturday morning, about 11, maybe 11:15? Do you know what is across the street from Chick-fil-A at 1604 and I-10? It's called Six Flags. Fiesta, Texas. Are you following this, camera guy? So before we get off 1604, traffic comes to a standstill. I'm wondering what in the world is going on. So I have this genius idea that I would get off on the access road and just take the access road all the way around to where Chick-fil-A and Dick's Sporting Goods and that other outdoor store that I've refused to mention anymore for the rest of my life is. And so that's what we're going to do. And traffic is stopped on Interstate 10. Traffic is stopped on 1604. And the access road, guess what? When I came around the corner, traffic was stopped. Okay. I have two things going against me. One is I'm in a hurry because I'm going to go play golf with Randy Moore as soon as I get to camp, before camp. My second thought is I'm hungry. Okay, are you following that? So I'm in a hurry, and I'm hungry. There's this thing that shows up in my life called emotions. Do y'all have any of those? So I'm thinking, I'm starting to get mad. My first insult in my mind is aimed at all the people that are going to Six Flags on this Saturday, because already at 11 o'clock in the morning, it is registering 99 degrees. My thought comes up as an insult. Who in their right mind would possibly want to go to Six Flags? It's obviously going to be crammed full of people. It's 99 degrees outside. These people are, and I had a word, you know, that came to my mind, you know, and this is just my thought so far. My second thought that entered into my mind was, whose fault is this? Okay, this is where thinking about your thoughts become very, very important. Because my thought was, who's at fault here? Because somebody's got to be at fault because I'm in a hurry and I'm hungry. And this was a bad idea to go here. Why couldn't we have gone somewhere else and we could have bypassed so much of this traffic? You know, because if I'd have been in charge, that's what we'd have done, right? So I had this thought that this is a particular person in my family's fault. So I'm mad at all the people going to Six Flags. I'm mad because I'm hungry. And now I'm mad at, well, okay. Now there's this gift called thinking about what you're thinking about. And my thought was, okay, you are mad at a lot of things here, and you are mad at a person that you love very dearly. It would be wise in this moment to keep the mouth closed. We finally got to Chick-fil-A. We pull up. Minnie pulls in beside me with Sarah. I've got Eli with me. And I get out of the car. And the first thing I did is I go over and I give her a big hug. I'm like, whoo, aren't you glad we're here? This is good. I'm hungry. Let's go get something to eat. And we went in and we ate successfully without losing emotional control. All right? Now, I would like to tell Spencer that I do that every single time because I'm amazing, Spencer. But I would be lying and I would need to repent right now because I don't always do that. All right. What we want to be able to do as we mature in Christ is to have the mind of Christ. Amen? We want the mind of Christ. What the Apostle Paul does every time he starts a new church, every time he brings people to Christ, you come to Christ just, how's the song say? Just as I am. But does God want us to stay just as we are? Everybody go, no. Everybody go, no. Say no. On one, two, three, go, no. We don't want to stay as we are because we come just as we are, just as I am. But we need to change. We need to grow because we're saved, but we don't act saved yet. And so we are going to grow so that we can have in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says we have the mind of Christ. So I want us to think about what we think about. I got a new computer, and I'm working with new PowerPoint, and I apologize for the words being too small. I'll correct that next week. But I want to share with you three passages to illustrate what we're talking about, that we want our minds changed, that this is very, very critical. Ephesians 4, 22 and following says this, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. Now, desires is a word we're going to clue in on here in just a moment. Deceitful desires. In other words, these are desires that trap us and that trip us, and we end up being harmed and corrupted as a result of that. But there's good desires and there's bad desires. All right, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self. Okay, and the new self looks like what? We were created when you and I were baptized. We come up out of the water. We are a new creation. God has done something within our life. We are created now to be like God in true righteousness, doing the right thing in holiness, which means we're set apart. We're unique. We are special unto God. All right, Romans 12, 2 says this, just another community of God's people. Paul says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can test and approve what God's will is. We often wonder, what is God's will for my life? If we have a mind that has been renewed and transformed into Christ's likeness, it is easy for us to figure out, obviously, what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Philippians is another passage. Eli read this just moments ago. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what does it say? Everybody, let's read this together. Think about such things. Now, notice it didn't say anything about bitterness, anger, envy, jealousy, strife, dissension, anything like that, division, God doesn't want us dwelling in that world. He has a new world in which we are to train. So you and I, here's the deal. You and I are to train our thoughts. So when we have bad thoughts, which I had a bad thought there that day with Chick-fil-A and all the issues, I felt like I was surrounded by nobody that had a brain cell, okay? And that was the nicest way I could insult, all right? And obviously, I was the genius here that nobody asked. Y'all all feel that way, right? You know, when you're right, you're right, you know. So what God wants us to do is, when you and I have a thought, it's almost like we can pull our head open, pull the thought out, lay the thought out on the table, and the emotion that goes with it, and evaluate it. And if it's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, we can go, put it back in. And if it's not, what can we do with it? Y'all have your own computer. You can hit delete, you know, put something like a text. You can put a text in a garbage can and it deletes it from your phone. Okay. You have the same ability with your minds that when these overwhelming thoughts, and we're going to focus on two things very quickly in the lesson is yours. There's two areas that you and I need to become very mindful about. And that is our desires. There's two patterns of the mind that need renewal and transformation. One is our desires, and the other is our identity. Okay? This is where the battle of the mind is fought. With our desires, desires are what we think we want. I wanted to get food, and I wanted to get out of there in a hurry, okay? Those were my desires. And I almost trashed everybody that I loved in the process to what my desires were until I pulled the thought out and go, this is not a good thought to voice. I would be better served to keep that to myself. It'll preserve love in every way. This would be the Christian thing to do. And by the way, I got there on time and all my desires were fulfilled and I didn't trash anybody in the process. Okay, which is I'm learning. So desires is what we think we want and identity is what we believe, what we think about ourselves. Let's talk about desires for just a moment. You and I live in a world that suggests that if something feels good, it is good. Say that with me. If it feels good, it is good. And if it feels bad, it is bad. What do you think about that thought? Got any thoughts on that? That is a trap, okay? That is a trick. That is deceitful desire. Not everything that feels good is good. Have you ever followed through, if it feels good, do it, and then you did it and you live to regret it? If you've ever been there, say with me, amen. Amen? Amen. All right. Not everything that feels good is good. Where Satan attacks us is he attacks us at our with our desires and our identity. I find this fascinating. When you look back at the temptations of Jesus, think about where Satan comes and attacks him. The word says that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And obviously, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, what's he attacking? His identity. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. What's that all about? He's hungry, which is desire, right? And the other two temptations are also about. The next one is, if you are the Son of God, then jump from the highest point of the temple, you know, and God will command his angels and they will rescue you and you're not going to stump your toe or whatever, okay? It's all about being glorious, the desire for fame and glory, the desire to see if God, to test God, to see if he really does work for you. And then the final one, you know, here's all the kingdoms of the world. You can have it all if you bow down and worship me. All of it comes down to the attack of desire and of identity. Look what Jesus says. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus says, my identity is rooted in my relationship with God, and I'm loyal and I am dependent upon Him. Guys, our emotions are like weather. They're always changing. Some of us are like we live in Amarillo with our emotions. Have y'all ever been there? The weather, if you don't like the weather for a moment, just hang around. It's going to change really quickly. Our emotions are like weather. They're always changing. So should you allow your emotions to have the steering wheel of your life? Should your life be ruled by your emotions? Because your emotions change. Now, what doesn't change? The Lord and the word of the Lord never changes. Which one deserves the steering wheel? Now, I know that oftentimes I have given the steering wheel to my moods. Anyone else? Ever let your moods have control of the steering wheel of your life? I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, "Don't bother much about your feelings. When they are humble, loving, brave, give thanks for them. When they are conceited, selfish, cowardly, ask them to be altered. In neither case are they you, but only a thing that happens to you. What matters are your intentions and your behavior." Henry Nouwen, one of my favorite Christian authors, he says this, "The spiritual life is beyond moods. It is a life in which we choose joy and not allow ourselves to become victims of passing feelings of happiness or depression." So here's what I want to share with you all. Good thinking leads to good actions, which leads to good feelings or emotions. Good thinking, the mind of Christ, leads to good actions, which leads to good feelings. Why is this important? Because I want all of you to learn the glorious truth that feelings come in third place. Always, do not give feelings first place in your life. You will wreck it. That is not a good idea. Good thinking, which leads to good action, will lead, and the result or the consequence is good feelings. Have y'all ever purchased anything based on number three, good feelings, right? You made that the dumbest thing I ever did in my life when it comes to money. If I share this, then y'all are going to mark me, and you're going to know just how stupid I really am. I remember I wanted a four-wheel drive truck. I wanted a four-wheel drive truck with two seats up front, not just one. And I went to a store and I knew what I could afford as my monthly payment. Can you see sucker on my forehead yet? All the sales associates could. And I go walking in there and I'm fishing for a payment, and that's exactly what they got. And 2 days later, I figured out I had a balloon payment at the end of that thing. That's how they got me in it, for a payment. Oh, I never felt so stupid, so humiliated in all of my life. And when I think about my thoughts, I look back and go, whoa, that decision was not based on logic and ration. That was based on emotion. It's not what I needed, it's what I wanted. And we paid for that one. Amen. Have any of you ever been, it's just so embarrassing. It's just so embarrassing. A lot of times when we make decisions on how we're feeling, we really bring harm to our lives. Well, the second thing in closing. So we need to rethink desire. Don't put emotions in first place. Don't give emotions, you know, have y'all ever like just been bored, or you're unhappy and you're frustrated, and then you go shopping? Some of you, any of you? And then you buy everything in the store and you come home, and then later there's the bill, there's not enough money at the end of the month. You know, you're like, emotions. Emotions will crash us. They'll wreck us. All right. So feelings, keep them in third place. Good thinking followed by good actions result in good feelings. Okay. The second thing, church family, that we want to make peace with is our identity. And this is critical. Remember, if Satan comes to Jesus, he says, if you are the Son of God, do you know whose son or daughter you are? Do you know your intrinsic value? Do you know the value that Christ has placed on you? Some of you live with, what can I call it? A script, like a statement made from very important, influential people in your life, and it got tucked away into your identity in your mind. And to this day, you have not overcome and made peace with that. Words like, you'll never amount to anything. Can't you do anything right? It's your fault your dad and I, or your mom and I, always argue. I have to be perfect. I have to look perfect, or I'm worthless. Now, some of you have had things said to you by very important people in your life that you bought into, and you experienced defamation of identity. You were defamed. I remember the first time I felt feeling defamed. It was in second grade, Miss Patterson's class. I'd like to talk to her right now. I did get overcome this years later. But she separated our whole class into different reading groups, and all my good friends got in the first reading group, and they had a special bird named for them. And then there was the second reading group, and they were the second best, and I was in the third reading group. Now, I was in there so that I could be helped to get caught up from the teacher's point of view, but you know what I thought from my point of view? Third rate. That's who you are, third rate. And you know what, Mike? I spent the rest of my education all the way up through 12th grade thinking that I was a third-rate student. I didn't figure out that I was actually had somewhat of an intellect till my sophomore year of college, because I had people give me a different script. Isn't that powerful? And I think about all the different scripts that you and I live with. And so it's our desire on one hand, and then our identities on another hand, and all of these things works and it holds us down. Listen, church family, what God wants us to do is to have our minds renewed. Look what he says in Ephesians 4. He says, you were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Okay, so this is your job this week. You ready, church family? I want you to think about what you're thinking about. And whatever you're thinking about, pull it out, throw it on the table, look at it. Is it true? Is it pure? Is it noble? Is it good? Okay, great, goes back in. Is it false? Is it untrue? Is it contrary to what God says about me? Is it contrary to what I know that God has done for me? Okay, if that's the case, then what do? In the trash. Will y'all spend the rest of your life doing this? If you do, you will discover the renewing of your mind and the transformation to have the mind of Christ. If we can serve any of you, if y'all are discouraged this morning and you want prayer, we would love to serve you in any way that we can. Let's all stand and sing.